years ago, took a call for a young woman who had stepped in front of a train to take her own life. When I arrived on scene, she had been thrown forward exactly 100 feet from the point of impact and had landed still near the tracks. Her body looked perfectly intact. She was wearing a pure white dress and she had no visible sign of trauma at first glance. What I saw next had no explanation. Her heart was lying right next to her body and looked like it was surgically removed. All four arteries were cleanly cut, equidistant from the heart. The opening in her chest was barely visible. Other than that, you would never know a 70-mile-an-hour train had just hit her. I later learned that she had suffered from depression since childhood and she had planned her death, drinking a six-pack to get up the courage. She left behind several young children and an abusive husband that was loved by everyone like an angel. I took what happened with the way she was dressed in all white like an angel as an omen, and she died of a broken heart. Broke everyone's heart, actually. You are now entering the realm of the Freaky Deaky, an unsuspecting stop at the crossroads of fantasy and reality, where the frayed edges of make-believe seep into this cookie-cutter, white-picket world you've been led to believe is far from extraordinary. What you're about to hear are true stories.
Alleged true stories.
Christian, just... okay? Tales of the strange and inexplicable thought only to exist in film and folklore. Although difficult to accept, we do not know everything about this reality. About time or space, what lies beneath the ocean's depths. And try though we might, the unchanging truth remains. There are some things you legitimately cannot explain logically.
That was way sad.
That was way sad. And I was even wondering, I was like, should I open the episode on this?
How did our heart come out?
I couldn't tell you, man, but that is what happened. It seems kind of weird that you get hit by a train and your heart would fly out and then land right next to you. I'm like, no, I think some lycanthropy might be at play. No, that'd be a very weird twist to that story.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that.
Well, luckily you don't have to say anything. Folks, welcome back to the Freaky Deaky, where we are diving into volume 3 of Police and the Paranormal. It's been a long time coming. I think the last time we did, it's been over a year. It's
yes.
Definitely been over a year, but it might even be longer than that. It has been a while. It's been a while, so I just...
That song was just on the radio yesterday.
Was it? Wow.
I thought of you.
Classic. Yeah.
And I sang.
Wow.
Because I was in the car.
Yeah, that's true. That's what you do in the car, you know?
Yep.
Obviously.
And then I stopped myself because you ruined that song.
I think they might have ruined it for themselves, but that's fine, honestly. You know? Anyway, folks, if you are new to the show, do us a favor. Check it out in its entirety. If you enjoy what you hear, rate it 5 stars wherever you're listening. It really does help us grow the show out. And if you're a fan of the paranormal and you're a fan of dry humor and you're a fan of nonsensical soundboards, then friends, you are in the right place.
My ear is all wet.
That is very true. Much like the blanket, which you are paired to. That's fine though, honestly. So without much further ado, I guess I can touch on all the socials and all that other stuff later. You don't care. You're here right now and you're like, hey Scott, how about you get into the stories? And that's when I say okay. And also let you guys know that I am sleepy still because I woke up like 8 minutes ago because Christian got here on time for once, right? No, you weren't on time, but I was way off time.
I was here at 5:30 on the dot.
Yeah, that's definitely not the case. But apparently my phone died overnight and my body told me, hey, you need to sleep forever, son. It's game over.
Scott's so old, he doesn't know the phone needs to be charged in. Charged up.
Wow. So the morning is off to a great start, as is tradition in this household.
I have infused coffee. My morning is good.
Ew, gross.
Yeah, nice. I knew you needed to get one of those in there. But the coffee's only 10 milligrams. It probably won't even affect me.
That is true. Yeah, you're a little beyond that now. Okay, worst start to an episode of all time. Now that all that bullshit's out of the way, and now I'm grumpy.
Oh, you started off as sleepy, now you're grumpy.
I know.
I'm still happy.
Wow. Well, all the dwarves are going to be accounted for by the end, I'm sure.
Because I'm happy.
Wow. Never again. Anyway, let's get into these stories, huh? Let's go ahead and get into this next story. It is called The Devil in Her, and it's by Alan Fugati. Nice.
I know that guy.
I don't think you do, but that's fine. Well, it says, I have two stories that come to mind. First one was a disturbance call to a government high-rise housing project. Upon entering the apartment, I observed an elderly lady of color, probably the 70s, on all fours, on her table. She was braying like a donkey. She turned her head and started speaking in Latin. I walked back out and shut the door and called for EMS. I refused to go back inside or deal with her any further.
He's a cop?
He is indeed.
Very helpful.
EMS transported her to the local hospital. After that, I gathered some information from her older neighbors. They told me she, quote, had the devil in her. I asked if she had a Catholic background, which would explain the Latin language, and was told no by people who knew her and attended church with her. I never followed up or heard anything else in relation, and I don't want to. The second was a call from a security officer to the front desk of another government apartment building. He had someone who had entered his building with no ID. They were pale white, and it was late at night, and they had visible puncture marks on their neck. Uh-oh. They also didn't seem to fit into the neighborhood. It wasn't a goth kid hangout. In fact, no one like that would be safe anywhere around the area, and it wasn't Halloween or even close to it.
What kind of area is he in that they beat up goth kids?
Anywhere?
Just not kidding. Right, man.
I had the security officer allow the person to sign in with no ID and go up. Upon investigation, the apartment they signed into wasn't a real number, and CCTV wasn't working correctly for a review. Also, no one matching that description was ever reported seen again. Well, those are my X-Files experiences from the career.
I guess the first one, like at first I was like, why did he just shut the door and leave it for EMS? But I guess that does happen sometimes with when you're kind of having a crazy episode.
Yeah, when you walk in and an old woman's braying like a donkey on her table.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably walk away too.
Yeah, because if you stay there, sometimes you end up having to pull your gun or something.
Oh, pull your gun, yeah. Or possessed, too.
Well, that too, but it's funny. He's like, does she go to a Catholic church?
What's really weird is that there wasn't a single fucking piece of punctuation or anything in that sentence.
Could you imagine the paperwork he turned in?
I would rather not, honestly. But yeah, that's probably why I stumbled over it 50 times. I was like, as I'm reading, I'm like, there's not a single comma. There's not a single period. It's just a void of text.
Unacceptable, man.
Very true. What about you, Christian? You ever walk in on any old ladies braying like donkeys?
Not like donkeys.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever had an experience quite like that.
And if all goes well, we never will.
Yeah. Nobody wants to see a human acting like a donkey.
Pay top dollar for that, usually.
Well, I mean, unless you're watching Shrek.
That is true. That is true. Shout out to Eddie Murphy. All right. This next one is called Inmate in the File Room. I passed through a situation that I just can't explain. I'm a police officer from Brazil. During a riot last year in a penitentiary, almost 30 inmates were killed. This year, I went there to solve court bureaucratic proceedings. When I was talking to the director of the penitentiary, he commented about something weird caught by surveillance cameras and showed me the video with some discomfort. I got curious and watched. A guy out of nothing just appeared in the file room at about 2 a.m. He went to the center of the room and started to laugh compulsively and then left the room. Then the penitentiary director asked me what was wrong. I pointed, saying that security was compromised. If an inmate was able to invade that room so easily, he could walk freely inside the penitentiary. I also observed the guy was probably paranoid due to crack use. Classic. But apparently those were minor problems in the video. The director observed then that the invader appeared in camera from the right, but there's no door in the right area of this wall. The alarm of this room never rang. The guy caught on video was known by the penitentiary staff. It was a felon who was beheaded during the last riot. Then the director showed me the file of the invader. All traces matched with this guy on video, including tattoos. It was that guy who was slaughtered during the last riot, no doubt at all. Weird.
That one is a weird one.
That would be creepy. I mean, I get like prison ghosts or whatever, but seeing this thing like laughing maniacally in the middle of the file room, why? Why? Why was it, you know?
Because they couldn't take him out.
Yeah, he's like, haha, you'll never get me alive. And he's like, oh, fuck, I'm also in prison forever. Damn it.
But now he can haunt his torturers or murderers.
It's popping.
I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah. Why would you be in the file room?
Because if
you're trying to get information on people, like
maybe when he was living, he was never able to get in there, so he was just going to places in the prison he couldn't, and that's why he was laughing, because he's like,
outwitted
him. Next thing you know, I'm going to walk out the front, and then he was never seen again. Like his head.
That got pretty dark. Yeah.
Sorry. Not sorry. She's going to hell. They have some crazy riots in some of them South American countries. When any prison riot's pretty crazy, but the ones there,
yeah,
are nuts. Usually, probably because there's like 15 inmates in a cell in those places.
That would make it a little more extreme. Yes,
it's popping like the head on that ghost.
Anyway, yeah. Okay, so this next one is lovingly titled Polda Houdini. Last year, while on patrol at around 3 a.m., we arrested a man for assaulting a woman. The woman was hurt pretty badly, so we called her an ambulance. While waiting for the ambulance, we cuffed the man and put him in our car. When we arrived at the station, the man was gone. Was the seat empty? No. Instead, we discovered the woman who was assaulted lying in the seat. She was handcuffed. We asked her what she was doing there, and she ranted about a false arrest and how she was going to sue us. All her injuries were gone, but she was wearing the same clothes as the victim. In fact, there was no reason to believe that she wasn't the victim from appearances alone. Since she had technically committed no crime, we had to let her go without further interrogation. When we got back to the station, we contacted the ambulance to see what happened. No one had any record of the call. We checked our body cams, but there was nothing out of the ordinary. We captured the arrest, but the camera was off by the time the ambulance came. The footage, however, confirmed that the woman in the car was the victim. A few days later, the footage mysteriously disappeared. Since it was around 3 a.m., there were no witnesses. We don't have contact information for the man or woman, so there was no other way to follow up. Whenever I drive or walk past that spot, I get chills. My old partner refuses to talk about the incident, muttering something about me masturbating too much and the First Amendment. Weird.
That is weird.
That's a really weird thing to mutter. But anyway, he had a partial breakdown about 8 months later and left the force. To this day, I suspect that he knows more about the incident, but is prevented from talking by forces beyond his control. Okay.
No.
Maybe he wasn't the one that had the breakdown after the incident from the sounds of things, but what a strange thing to happen, man.
I have a lot of, I don't know, man, this seems fishy.
The story itself, or?
Yeah, like how do you mess up like that? How do you put a woman in an ambulance and she ends up in the back of your police car? How do you let the suspect just disappear? I would like to know how they explained the whole scenario.
Like to higher ups or something? Yeah.
Like we arrested.
If they even, if there was anything, because he tried calling the ambulance wherever, there's no record of the call. So maybe like when they got out of the station, got the girl out of the car, they're like, oh shit, this isn't the right one. And they just let her go.
Maybe somebody dosed the officers at the local donut shop before they, and they thought they arrested somebody for beating up a woman. And they just grabbed some random woman off the street thinking she was beat up. They put her in an ambulance, and then she's like, this is false arrest, which if all of a sudden you're in the back of a police car handcuffed, and when they let her go, did they just let her go wherever they just pulled over and realized she was back there? Did they take her home?
Sounds like, yeah. It's just like, all right, get out.
I don't know. I'd like to, on this one, I'd like to hear from other officers to see
if this guy was credible,
if it's even possible, like to go for this to happen.
Well, it doesn't seem like it, because you think there's a lot of barriers they'd have to hop past before actually pulling something like that off. You start getting the handcuffs around her, she'll be like, oh, excuse me. And you're like, oh, that's not the right person.
Yeah.
Silly me.
Also, there's just many questions.
Do you think there was some magic afoot? Or is that the last thing that you think actually happened here?
I think that the magic that exists in this world doesn't typically have people disappearing or appearing.
True, but didn't it also say she didn't have any of the
bruises or injuries? Yes.
Man, what a weird story, dude. I honestly don't know. Like, I read that, I'm like, what the hell? What the hell just happened here? Damn it, I need answers. That's the downside of the show, man. We never actually get those answers.
What if they put her in the car, but they'd picked her up like in the past or in the future when she had no injuries. That, if that makes sense, like they grabbed the wrong person in the future. Somehow they slipped into the future or past, grabbed the wrong person before she was hurt, which would probably make, if they did have the guy they originally arrested, everything would be inadmissible.
True.
But somewhere
to an alternate dimension.
Yeah. Somewhere in another dimension, there was an abused woman in a hospital and waiting for the cops to show up to interview her. And they never did.
Classic. Probably lost a lot of faith in law enforcement that day. Damn it, lady. I'm going to go ahead and get into this next one. It's by Dave.
You need some energy, man.
I am very disappointed in myself. I have brought great shame on this family.
Whatever. It happens from time to time.
It does.
It was your turn.
Yeah. Only once for me, apparently, but.
Once so far.
Yes, of course. Time magic. Anyway, this next one is called The Voices. That's by Dave. I responded to a call with another unit in a fairly new neighborhood. The call was sketchy and vague and classified as a, quote, disturbing the peace call. Upon arrival, the other officer and I knocked on the door, which was answered by a slightly sheepish guy in his early 30s. He was well-dressed with a conservative haircut.
Everybody's crazy about a sharp-dressed man.
That's very true. He said he was having problems with hearing voices in his house. Our initial feeling was this was a normal person who was not experiencing any kind of mental breakdown, so our next step was to investigate where the voices might be coming from. His house was not connected to his neighbor's houses, and there was no obvious problems with loud radios, TVs, or other outside influences. The guy was very thoughtful and open to any suggestions we made for explaining the voices, but we were stumped. We asked him if he heard the voices now, and he said no. He added that the voices were not always there and had stopped just after he called on this occasion. He said they started soon after he moved in and at first assumed they were from loud neighbors. After he continued to hear them at odd hours and times when neighbors were not home, he became worried. He admitted that he didn't think the police could help, but he had no one else to call.
Ghostbusters.
I know, I was about to say, he didn't even try Ghostbusters first of all, but... Anyway, after we felt we had investigated every source we could, we had to tell him we couldn't help. We actually felt bad because we didn't have any solution to offer him. As the other officer and I walked back to our cars, we just looked at each other as if to say, that was spooky.
48-hour hold.
I know. Well, there you go. Give that a shot. A few months later, I drove through the neighborhood and noted a sold sign on his front lawn. I guess he found a solution on his own. Sell the house.
Or the voices got him.
In this market, sell your house.
The cop should have looked a little bit deeper and told us whether the guy ended up dead or something, or possessed, or in a mental institution.
No.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Tell you what, when I was looking in this episode, it really made me want to reach out to our local police. Similar to like what that thing with the priest, right, where I have like an open draft email for the church down the road trying to get in touch with an exorcist to come on the show. I have had the same thing for the Wasilla PD.
I have a friend who knows a lot of the cops.
Maybe I'll talk to her again.
She was going to put me in touch with some of them.
Nice.
I think one has a podcast too, so.
A cop?
I'll hear you. I'll find out.
Wow. Wouldn't that be cool? A weird collaboration with a cop podcast.
Yeah.
Like, it's time. It's time. But yeah, like just reading these stories, I'm like, damn, someone in the local, like, I feel like everyone in every precinct around the world, right? There's got to be at least one person that had something weird happen that they couldn't really explain, you know? So I'm like, hey, why not just reach out to the local homies and be like, hey, what you got? But I don't know how to word it without sounding like I belong in jail. You know what I mean?
I mean, basically, we'd have to probably give them an anonymous name or something. Because that's not something you could talk about in that line of work as openly.
Which is kind of a bummer, which means they probably wouldn't want to come in studio and talk, which means it might just be wasting my time. But I really want to get someone in here that, or at least see if anyone in the local police force has any kind of weird stories. Maybe someday. Alrighty, this next one is called Goodness Gracious, Great Line of Fire. That's by Mark Woods. I think I have experienced something supernatural, but I'm not sure because I have no idea what it was. My partner Ira and I were traveling down a 6-lane highway on routine patrol in a 2-man car. Hey guy, If it's a two-man car, how are you going to arrest any criminals, huh? We were passing a large office building on the left and a parking lot on the right, when about 50 feet ahead of us, a straight line of fire sprung up from the pavement all the way across the road and burned several seconds. It was hundreds of individual flames, like coming from a pilot light, not a constant flame, like someone had spread an accelerant or fuel across the road and ignited it. The road, which was at least 60 feet wide, was completely abandoned, not a car or person in sight. Ira exclaimed, "Did you see that?" And he quickly stopped the car and activated the blue lights to warn any cars that might approach. Did you know that the lights had different settings and different meanings? Yes. I have no fucking idea, dude. He said blue lights. I'm like, oh, well, that makes a lot of sense. Why didn't they tell us that?
They probably do, but we don't listen.
Not in driving school, man.
I bet you it's because different precincts might use different lights depending on, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before anywhere that I can think of, but I have heard about it.
Yeah, that was the first time. I'm like almost mid-30s now. I'm like, damn, if I would have known this about cops, maybe I wouldn't have been speeding away from all this time. No, I'm just kidding. So they turn on the blue lights to warn any cars that might be approaching. Strangely enough, there was not a car coming in either direction. It was as if time stood still for everything around except for him and I.
I thought he said this was like an abandoned road.
He means abandoned and as in no one's driving on it at the moment. Because it was like certain, anyway.
That sounds more desolate or lonely than abandoned.
Okay, well, we can harp on his writing style. As long as he gives me punctuation, I don't care what he says, you know what I mean?
I guess you're right.
So, strangely enough, there was not a car coming in either direction. It was as if time stood still for everyone except for him and I. There was not even anyone talking on the police radio. We got out of the car and approached the area of road cautiously, questioning if it might happen again. Using our flashlights, we searched for any evidence of the fire, but couldn't even find where the fire had been. Not even a discoloration on the pavement. We were baffled by this, and we were never able to explain it. Supernatural? I'm not sure, but it certainly was extraordinary.
Off in the distance, some teenagers were laughing.
Yeah, isn't that, that's kind of weird though, right? Because let's say it was some prank or some random shit, right? You'd see something on the road. There'd be some kind of proof or evidence that something had taken place.
You would think so.
You would, but these are genius level teenagers we're talking, all right?
Yeah, they learned this in their science class.
Wow.
Fascinating that this could be the second story we've talked about that could have had a shared hallucination. Which is a fascinating thing to me because that's just so
made up.
No, I mean, I think if it happens, there's a lot of explaining we need. Like, how can the same mind sync up? Especially if they're not, you know, it's one thing if you're talking about something or you're mentioning what you're seeing and then everybody else sees it. But if you just randomly see something like that in the road and you both see it without, you know, anything triggering it, or you both arrest some guy and a girl ends up in the backseat of your car handcuffed. It almost sounds like some kind of shared hallucination or something similar.
I'm surprised that you're going with shared hallucination instead of something wild like a time slip or like hopping dimensions or something like that.
I mean, I haven't heard too many cop stories where it seems like they're switching in and out of dimensions earlier. I mean, the one earlier seemed like it, but it's still, I mean, shared hallucinations are a thing.
Well, that's what they tell us, but wouldn't it also be possible to share an eyewitness encounter?
If it actually happened.
Precisely. So how do we know it's a hallucination and not a actual event, you know? Like, that's the weird thing, is like differentiating between the two. An actual event, you know, it's like two people saw it. You know, could that have actually happened and not be a hallucination? Yes, I say yes.
And the first story about the girl and the guy and the police car, maybe not. This story, it could be just a simple prank.
It sounds like a pretty advanced prank, if that's the case.
Yeah, it does sound advanced, but maybe whoever was out there doing this just assumed a regular car would show up and it ended up being a cop car.
That's not the worst.
I have no experience with that.
I forget. I think my brother was saying driving home from Lancaster once, someone was riding his ass. And so he brake checked him and like just stomped on his brakes. And they like, he heard the tires behind him screech. And then 2 seconds later, he saw lights flip on and it was the fucking. But apparently they got called away or something because they just like passed him and sped up and drove up. I was like, damn, dude, you really got out of that with unscathed.
I think maybe they realized, well, never mind. We were riding too close.
Wow. Does that ever happen? Probably not. But maybe it's a miracle. Hey, maybe that's a paranormal story for you.
I mean, Lancaster is a weird area.
Lancaster? But this was, I think, right outside Mojave, like right before the turn.
Well, that's even worse.
That is actually very much worse, yes. I don't know, man.
Mojave is not a pretty place.
That is true. Well, most of that area is pretty damn ugly.
Yeah.
Except for sunsets and sunrises on certain days.
Late at night when the stars are out.
Yeah. And when the moon meets your eye like a big pizza pie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Amore. Anyway. This next one is called A Nice Little Wholesome Palate Cleanser. And it's by Michael Hunter.
Sounds like a character in a detective novel.
Sounds like someone that hunts down Michaels.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm Michael Hunter.
Nobody likes Michaels.
Yesterday, I got the weirdest email. I got added to a chain of Scots. Has that ever happened to you?
No, because that sounds more like a band name.
Right? Yeah, it was like, and literally the message, it was sent to me and about 700 other Scots. And it said something like, we are the band of Scots. You cannot spam us or whatever like that. Or like Scots Unite or something. I was like, what the actual fuck? And there's a couple replies in there. I'm like, wow, is this my tribe?
Maybe those are emails you shouldn't be opening.
No, I don't click on anything, but I was genuinely curious. I'm like, what the hell? Did someone go like just comb the internet or just keep typing different Scott emails? That's a lot of work to put in.
Great Scott.
Great Scott, indeed. That's a new one. No, just kidding. Anyway, nice little palate cleanser. Michael Hunter, a hunter of Michaels. One of the supervisory officers over me died at a young age of lung cancer despite never having smoked a single cigarette.
Happened to my stepmother.
Happens a lot of it I hear, and there's no way for me to prove it because I'm a fucking dumbass that talks about ghost stories, is that most of it's genetics.
Sometimes you're born with weaker body parts or body parts more susceptible to certain things.
Yeah, or stronger body parts, you know what I mean, Christian?
I do know what you mean. My biceps.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, yeah. He was aware of the diagnosis and tried quite a few treatments to overcome the disease. He had taught me a lot about leadership, accountability, attention to detail, and proactive policing. I went to his funeral. He had orchestrated his own funeral. In the church, we first heard his recorded voice talking about his belief in the hereafter. As a boy, he was injured in a bicycle crash and had an out-of-body experience. He described it very meticulously. He pointed to that as the reason he had sought to be the best officer he could and why he was fearless. On leaving the church, and as the casket was taken to the hearse, sirens all over the city went off and church bells rang as well. At the funeral, the casket was placed into position. There was a 3-volley gun salute and the playing of taps. Immediately after that, the missing man formation of aircraft flew over the cemetery. Now, my sergeant was not a military veteran. He was not a member of the National Guard. The entire thing was, to me, supernatural. I know why each of these events happened, but why did they in fact happen at those exact moments at a funeral not connected to any of those events? You figure it out.
I did. The military planes were practicing. Mm-hmm. All the rest seemed normal to me.
Yeah, the taps.
This is one of those stories that doesn't really have supernatural to it, but it has somebody seeing signs of supernatural, which is in our genre we have to be careful with.
Sure.
Because people can see something and find a pattern in it.
Mm.
We see that with conspiracies all the time.
We see that with a lot of shit. Yeah.
So this almost feels like just a good example of how we search for patterns and meanings in certain happenings that maybe don't have any.
Mm-hmm.
And
it is a wild coincidence. I will say that. Like,
that is pretty wild. I would wish they would have mentioned where they were at. It might be easier to see if it was just
Antarctica. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, okay, maybe it was.
So they were German military airplanes.
Yes.
From Nazi Germany.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Why not?
Still hiding out from Admiral Byrd.
Yeah. Die Glocken.
That wasn't in Antarctica, though.
Well, maybe it is now, Christian. You didn't think about that,
Yeah, maybe they moved it. That's why they have the leftover stand.
You can't just leave it out willy-nilly. You got to think these things through, you know? All right, this next one, this is a weird one. To be honest with you, the entire show is based off weird ones. So that's what we should have called it, actually. You know, there's that...
Hot ones.
Yeah, hot ones. We could just be weird ones. If people were rebranding the show, we'll see you next week on Weird Ones. This is called Coffee and Confusion, and it's by Franklin Ricciardine. I made him Italian. You're welcome, Franklin.
Is that Italian? That didn't sound Italian to me.
The inflection of my voice made it sound Italian. So you're welcome. So Italian. Anyway, one night I was just leaving a home burglary call. I started driving and a neighbor lady flagged me down. She was at least 75 wearing a nightgown.
She's got a muumuu. Ooh, yeah.
I stopped and got out. She asked me if I wanted coffee. I said, oh, no, thank you, as she was walking to her porch. She said her sons were policemen. I watched her walk in and I said, thank you, but I have to go. She just kind of waved. So I got in, started driving, and another guy, about 45, stops me and says, did they break into the Freeman house again? I said, no, your neighbor at the end of the cul-de-sac got burglarized. He said, why were you walking around the Freeman house? I said, oh, how about you mind your own damn fucking business, dude? No, just kidding. I didn't say that.
Yeah.
He didn't say that. I made him a lot more angry than he was.
Put your hands on the car.
I said, oh, I was just talking to a lady who lived there. He said, no one lives there. I said, a lady lives there. I just talked to her. He is freaking out and says, Mrs. Freeman died a year ago and the house has been boarded up. I'm telling the guy, no, that house. He said, yes, that house is boarded up. So me and him walk back to the house and I shit you not, it is boarded up and dark. I asked if she had sons and the guy said she had three and all three of them were cops. That turned me into a paranormal believer that day, I tell you what. And if this story ever gets shared to a skeptic named Christian, I hope it changes his mind. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That almost feels like it was meant to be, man. That end part especially.
I mean, if I saw that, I would be...
Do you think if he said yes to coffee, he would have actually had coffee or that she'd go in the house and just never come back out?
I think...
I don't know why that's the first question that came to me. Ghost coffee.
I think in the hereafter, she just... Oh, she always offered coffee to her sons, probably.
Mm.
And it's just natural to... And also old school to offer coffee to cops.
That is true. It is a little old school.
Yeah. So it's not something that probably happens very often anymore. And if I was a cop, I don't know how many people I would take coffee from in this day and age.
I don't trust anyone.
But if it was a ghost, yeah, I would take the coffee and I'd say thank you. And I'm going to go talk about this on the podcast.
Now, do you think the cup exists in reality after you take it? Or do you think when you finish it, it like disappears and you can't ever find the ghost cup again?
No, I don't think cups work like that. I think
there's a real cup that the ghost brought out to you.
Yeah, a real cup from a fake ghost.
No, a real cup from a real ghost.
Okay.
A fake ghost would just be an old lady giving you coffee.
True real ghost stories.
Nice. Throwing in some keywords there. Very good. Yeah, hey, YouTube, were you listening to that? Is someone searching that term? Man, fuck. I get so bummed out with search terms and SEO and all that shit. Like, nothing works, dude. Nothing. And I start to think, I say, is it perhaps us? Are we the problem?
No, I just think the algorithms change constantly.
Algorithm.
And at this point, maybe the algorithms are changed by AI.
And at this point, who knows?
Yeah. We need more ghost stories like this one. Because this one is a good story.
Yeah.
Especially the way he found out. And could you imagine being the cop telling somebody's neighbor, hey, I was at this house. No, she's dead. She's been dead for a year and it's boarded up. And the kids keep going in there and getting high.
Get down on the ground. No. Wow.
And then you walk back there with the guy and it is boarded up. And
well, this is humbling. Very humbling.
Yeah.
But I mean, the guy had to have believed his story, right? Especially if he was like, did she have any kids? And he's like, yeah, three cops. I can't imagine like the neighbor's like, oh, cool. We got a real weird, deranged cop on the streets talking to nobody.
I mean, a lot of people believe that these kind of things are possible. So
that's true. I mean, you know, when they do polls about people that believe in ghosts and whatnot, it's something like 70% of people believe that they exist. Just not everyone talks about it nearly as much as we do, which at times feels like it's a lot. We talk about it a lot, you know?
Well, I mean, in the real world, sometimes it's not always you don't always have the opportunity to talk about the supernatural.
That's true.
Certain people aren't cool with that. Certain people believe anything supernatural is the devil.
Yeah. And it just, there's like a weird stigma attached to it. Like I was reading stories for a future episode. It might actually be next week's episode, which is like run-ins with evil, like alleged run-ins with evil. And one of the stories I came across, it was on some website and it shows what the person, like the person's name, and it says what they do pretty much, like when, where they went to college. And it was like an attorney talking about having encounters with demons and stuff like that. And there's a part of me in my head, I was like, if you were this person's client and you came across that and you're like, wait, my attorney is being, you know, attacked by demons, wouldn't you probably immediately be like, I'm going to get a new attorney?
I mean,
it's just a weird stigma put on it because this person has like a higher level job, has like, you know, more, I don't know, profound job, more important job than most schmoes. It's like, you can't be talking about that type of stuff.
That's true. I mean, you can't.
But it's not fair. But even myself, I did. I was like, I don't know if I'd, but in reality, I'd be like, this guy believes in demons? Hell yeah. Let's go get it, man.
Well, it's like pilots that talk about UFOs. It's been frowned upon for many years and some people have lost their jobs.
Yeah.
An attorney tends to talk to a lot of people that most of us wouldn't spend time talking to.
Yeah. Well, that's anyone in my case.
And some of them are probably evil. Probably not possessed by the devil or demons.
No.
Because they don't exist.
Oh, well, there's that.
Ew, ghost.
Yeah.
About time you put him on there.
I know. I was just thinking about it. I'm like, he's getting so old. He's not going to be sound cute like this for too long. Commemorate him and immortalize him in podcast form.
Yep. That cute little voice.
No.
Anyway, weird all the same. Old Mrs. Freeman in her beautiful nightgown.
Ew, ghost.
I agree.
Anyway, we're going to close it up on this last one. Says, do you ever wonder? This is by Meredith Shearman. Several years ago, I took a 911 call for a family reporting their teenage daughter was possessed. Classic. And very honest, probably. Well, you've had a teenage daughter. Was she ever possessed?
I mean, all teenagers seem possessed at some point. They're just not possessed by the demon. They're possessed by raging hormones.
And the demon, so it's a twofer. Which
can be pretty demonic.
That was a little demonic. Anyway, they claimed no possibility of drugs or a history of mental health issues, which I, of course, didn't believe for a second.
Yeah, me neither.
Well, that's shocking to absolutely no one, Christian.
Everybody has mental health issues in their family.
Everybody has mental health issues, full stop.
True.
So.
Not me.
Especially, yeah. Anyway, family members were holding her down, and I could hear two people screaming at each other in the background. I asked the caller to tell whoever was yelling at her to stop. The caller said, it's her. I responded that I know it was her, but whoever was yelling at her at the same time to stop. The caller said, again, it's her. Both voices. I kid you not, it was the creepiest thing I've ever heard. I have been doing this for 25 years and have heard many things. I know of man's inhumanity and the horrible things people do to each other, but this was a different kind of evil. I was clearly hearing a young girl screaming at the same time an adult male was yelling back. I couldn't understand either language, but they were clearly two different voices. The family swore both voices were coming from her at the same time. It made my skin crawl. The lieutenant listened to the tape later, and he looked at me and said, do you ever wonder? And I said, yes. Yes, I do. Do you ever wonder if I should finish my sentences?
Sometimes you should not.
Yeah, it is a little more dramatic that way, right? Do you ever wonder, Bill? I do. I do, Lieutenant.
Here comes the mental health issues. Scott's looking off into the corner talking to Bill. There's no Bill here.
That's what he thinks, you know.
Just Christian.
Wow. There is only Christian.
So, Scott, what would make a normal teenage girl speak with two different voices pretty much at the same time? Is my boyfriend a demon?
It doesn't really matter. If number one, if you're possessed, I don't think it matters if it is
possible
physically.
But she's not possessed because that's not real.
Oh, so okay. So I guess then...
You got to come up with something. I'm asking you to be me for a second.
Okay. If I'm you, number one, it was their brain. Nobody heard anything. Secondly...
It has to be different than just the brain because there were two voices.
That's what I always say, but you never listen to that. Okay. So if there's two voices, what you're thinking when you hear this story is that it's a prank phone call and that the family's in on it and when they're just yelling at each other and saying it's her possessed.
No, that's not what I think. Okay, but I just want to know how she was able to mimic a different voice so easily.
It's not mimicry, though, if you're possessed.
If you're not possessed, it is mimicry, though.
Okay. And if you are possessed, then you do not have that ability. Or if you're not possessed, you do not have that ability.
I don't know, man. I think I've heard people do some weird stuff with their voice.
I can do some weird stuff with my voice.
Like,
but
like the guy from Police Academy, that black guy, he was definitely possessed.
By a good time.
Well, when you can beatbox like he could.
It really did be like that. Yeah, I don't know, man, because a lot of these, and I even, like, with looking into next week's episode and stuff like that, like, I even came across a couple possessed stories and stuff like that, and I'm not saying all of them, but a decent amount of them, even maybe even 50% of them, you have voice shifting, speaking a different language that the person doesn't know. Like, there's several weird indicators that you're like, I don't know how to explain that. If it actually happened, and this is a completely real story, and it's like a genuine person just trying to share an experience, I have no idea how to explain that outside of possession.
I'm a little disappointed we didn't hear about what happened when the cops or the paramedics showed up for this girl that was possessed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe it's not surprising to our listeners, but there are a lot of claims of possession that go out there about, especially around teenagers. I mean, that's obvious, but
they're pretty wacky.
Yeah. There's a lot of reports about possession. A lot of people believe in possession. There's people that kill their family members because they believe they're possessed.
There's even entire sects of churches and whatnot dedicated to this type of stuff, to tracking or going and helping people who are possessed. And granted, it's mainly the Catholic Church, but I think even most, like, Christianity in general and stuff have just different terms for it. It's not a priest or something like that, but it's, I forget what the actual term is called, where
the deacon in chief.
The deacon in chief. Yeah, that's the one.
The dick.
Wow. There you go.
Bring in the dick.
Yeah. Nah, that's getting weird. It's getting pretty weird. Like, yeah, I'm not going to remember what it is because it's early and I'm fucking stupid this morning for some reason. But yeah, I don't know.
I want to know more about this girl and I want more. I think, like, science should spend a little bit more time on possession.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that, and I'm sure they do at some point, they just maybe call it something else.
Mental illness is what
I mean,
science usually calls it, but yeah.
More than likely, that's the case.
Wow.
In most in most instances.
Alienating our audience. Okay.
But.
Yes, of course. Church magic.
I mean, we're all on the edge of insanity at every moment of the day, and plenty of people slip over into it. That's what the news is all about.
That is true.
So, I don't know, man. Possession is always fun, even though I don't necessarily believe in it most of the time. There's a couple cases that make me wonder, but not many. But we've all seen people that's, you know, when we're out and about driving around, you've been to Anchorage plenty of time. There seems to be some possessed people walking around the streets there. We came from California where we saw it sometimes.
I believe.
Yeah, sometimes it's just people that don't have access or don't take their medication consistently. But I find that the whole thing fascinating because there is an actual mental component to it, but sometimes that doesn't seem like the case. Sometimes there does seem to be supernatural involvement.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not a believer in demons or the devil, there seems to be things like that that happen that you're not quite sure can be explained away with a 48-hour hold in the psych ward.
And there's some things you definitely can't explain away. And then you're like, I need the 48-hour hold in the psych ward. What the hell?
Do you remember that video? It's probably 20 years old now, but I think it was in Germany, or maybe it was a Scandinavian country, but the cops had these two sisters on the side of the road, and one started freaking out and ran out into the street. And
gets hit by a truck or something, right?
Like, the truck didn't really hit her, kind of grazed her, but she was fine, but it was just such a harrowing, like, film.
Yeah.
You're like stressed. Once she started acting like that, you're stressed that she's going to run out into traffic at any time.
I can't remember what the story was about, though.
But
I do remember. Was that twins?
Yeah, I think it was they were both blonde, I think, blonde twins.
Yeah.
And both of them, if I remember right, were kind of acting weird, but.
I do remember exactly what you're talking about, but I can't remember the overall context of that video. But I know it had a paranormal element because I was looking into it. So, but yeah, it's been a while on that. It's been a while, and it should be something that maybe we look into for.
I'm sure we'll go come across a topic that we can use that story in for those that aren't familiar with it.
Yeah.
Because it is, it's just crazy to watch and kind of disturbing a little bit.
It was very disturbing, a lot of it. Yes. Very interesting. Anyway, that pretty much wraps it up. Before you guys get out of here and hit the old dusty trail, I need to remind you that we have got some fresh, beautiful new merch design on the store, and the revamped website is thriving. Damn it, it's thriving. So go to thefreakydeaky.com, click on the merch tab. While you're on the website, I've sprinkled in some Easter eggs throughout that, you know, maybe we'll give hints to at some point, whatever. You already know one. I've added a couple more in. I added, there's an Easter egg where you can find our tinfoil cat NFTs, which are in existence now and hilarious. And I did it because it was fun. And I was like, nobody's actually going to buy any of these NFTs because we don't have that audience that gives a shit about that stuff. It was something I had to do. I'm like, I need to make this. I need it to be a part of history forever or forgotten on the internet like everything else is in time. And also I created a playlist of all of the sappiest, saddest love songs and heartbreak songs that I've ever written. And I compiled it into a very weird page.
You were written them?
Yes. These is like my actual music from back in the day. And like, it's mainly originals, but some cover songs and stuff in there too. And I was like, it would be hilarious if people stumble across this page.
Interesting.
I don't know how I'm going to leak it out there. And I'm sure there's a
SoundCloud.
I mean, it's everywhere, but the playlist itself is on Spotify. But I don't know how I'm going to drop hints of what this is called or how people can find it. But yeah, I haven't had time to write any music in about 4 years. Isn't that interesting? And so yeah, I was like, it'd be funny for me to put a playlist of really sad things for this weird spooky ghost podcast. And if someone stumbles across, they're just going to be like, what the actual fuck is this?
What Scott's saying is spend some time on our website and look around. You might find something new. And I'm sure Scott will change it from time to time.
I will. I got plenty of ideas. The whole reason I put my music up there is because I was like, I have gave you great shame with your drawing on your face with the slash beans and whatnot. And I was like, well, see, I should throw myself out there too and be like, oh, you guys want to make fun of me? Here, find this.
I've had some strange itching on my face lately. I wonder if it's connected to the people drawing.
Does it feel like a funny mustache?
Sometimes.
And yes, it is.
And this coming from a person that's never had a mustache.
That's
a mustache.
Sure. A mustache, yeah. It's funny. I actually, when I finished putting that music page together, I sent a text to Jeremy and Chris over at Beliefful. And I was like, hey, after so many years or whatever, I finally sent my stories and emailed them over just to let you know. And I also told him, I was like, hey, and also you guys are musicians. And if you ever get the weird itch to start playing music again, hit me up and like, let's collaborate on something like Postal Service style. Even if it's like a cryptid Christmas album or something like that, write songs about Bigfoot and shit. I was like, I honestly do not give a fuck. It'd be a fun project. And I think Chris, or maybe it was Jeremy, was saying, he's like, that's so weird. I actually was just coming across something that allows musicians to play live with each other, like almost like a Zoom thing. And I was like, wow, man, synchronicity strong as ever, huh?
I'll sing.
There you go. That's exactly
nobody will listen.
Yeah, nobody wanted that, but that's fine. I don't know. I'll start sneaking in like really sad songs that I wrote at the end of like our spooky ghost outro music. People be like, Scott, what the fuck was that? Yeah, I'm like, yeah, don't worry about it.
I don't like sad songs, man.
I exclusively like sad songs.
It's been a while since I like sad songs.
It's been a while. Yeah. Yeah, I really do be like that. Actually, what I'm going to end on today is I'm going to tell you a very interesting experience that I had.
I'll be the judge of that.
You will be the judge of that, but you're going to get a weird kick out of this. I just want to hear your thoughts on this, right? So I have demons. No, it definitely wasn't demons this time.
Aliens.
Okay. So anyway.
Chupacabra.
That is not the case. Okay. So I have a buddy. I've probably talked about him before. Nick in Texas. I met him because of my business. He was an ambassador for me. He was my first ambassador. Super cool guy. Big Christian dude. And
so he's like me.
No, he's bigger.
I'm a Christian dude.
Well, no, you're a Christian, dude. He's a Christian dude. But that's beside the point. Anyway, we had like our firstborns around the same time. So we just talk randomly back and forth every now and then. Super cool guy. Well, a few days ago, I was sitting there and I get a text from him and he says, and I quote, okay, this is the verbatim the text that he sent me. He said, man, I had a dream the other day. The Lord was making a way for y'all to move from Alaska. There was a little resistance from your wife but it was his will. Not only was it his will, I saw a blooming like a flower in some relationships. Not sure if you and some family don't really talk or something, but whatever this was, it was as if y'all coexisted in the joy of the Lord. And I said, dude, the fuck, man? Like, I have not told him anything about, you know, the whole Tony situation in Tennessee or him wanting us to move out there. China and I have talked about it, you know, here and there. I talked about it with my family, being like, oh, should we go to Tennessee in a couple of years? Do what, whatever. And out of the blue, some guy that I've never met in person that I don't talk to, like, I talk to him frequently enough, but like, it's probably like once every couple months or something like that. We'll just text or whatever. Out of the blue, he has a dream about me. And it's about me moving and it being God's will and that he's going to provide this way for me to move, right? And I was like, I don't know what to say about that, man. I was like, that's pretty spot on, dude, for someone that I've never told any of this information to. Just coming forward to me and being like, I feel compelled to tell you this dream that I had about you.
I'd have to get a different job, though, in Tennessee. I don't know if I want that. I like my job.
Well, you can remote work.
You can't remote work at my job.
You just put a TV screen on the counter, you walk in, what can I help you with?
Actually, one of the guys I work with does remote work. I've never met him.
That is exactly how that works, yes. But crazy story, man. Crazy that that happened. And something else happened recently, too, that, I don't know, it's just been a weird week. You know, it's been a week where I've been really down on a lot of stuff and, like, really overwhelmed and just trying to, like, keep my head above water with everything going on. And I've been hashtag blessed enough to receive some uplifting information and messages. And
I wish you would have been blessed enough to receive some uplifting out of bed information this morning.
I would have liked that myself, you know?
I like try to come in. I'm like, oh, I bet you he's still asleep. Looked in the window. Yep, he's still asleep. I'll sit out in the warm car for a little bit.
You looked in the window? What, you came to my bedroom window?
No, not that window, man. I'd have to go around back. Yeah, that would be creepy. Fun.
That would be creepy, yeah. That would definitely be creepy. Anyway, Nick, thank you for that. If you're out there listening, I know you listen to the confessionals. You probably don't listen to this show. It's fine. I'm not worried about it. I'm not judging.
Do you ever wonder? Never mind.
If we're going to end this episode?
Yeah.
I do wonder. And the answer is no. The party continues. No. I don't know. Anyway, that's about it. Guys, I don't know what else to say. It's been a morning. I'm sorry if this didn't turn out. I'm hoping to work some post-production magic on it, but I'm sorry if it didn't turn out nearly as well as I was hoping. And I promise to make it up to you next week with Encounters with Evil. In the meantime, follow us on social media at Freaky Deaky Pod.
Share some clips. Shout out to Isis for sharing us on her Facebook.
Shout out to Isis for sharing us on her Facebook.
Too can get shouted out like Isis.
You too can. No, wouldn't that be weird if I just like echo everything you say like a fucking clown?
Oh, perfect episode. You too can prevent crime.
Wow. That's Smokey the Bear.
McGruff.
Oh, wow. I'm not 95 years old, so I don't know that reference as much.
This would have been in your childhood. Because that's when I saw it, when China and Christian were little. It was back, like, when they did they were like, the war on drugs didn't work. We just made it worse. So now let's do a war on crime. Ooh, yeah. War on poverty.
Ew, ghost.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, this has dragged on long enough. I will see you later. Follow us on social media if you have a paranormal experience of your own that you'd like to share with the show. Send it into the gang at thefreakydeaky.com. If you are in the need of some of the dopest designs that this world has ever seen, especially this genre has pretty boring basic merchandising, I'm going to be honest with you, go to thefreakydeaky.com, buy some new merch, listen or search for those Easter eggs. Maybe I'll throw a song at the end of this outro, maybe I won't. That's for future Scott to decide. And present Scott is tired and he wants to go inside.
What if you got a copyright hit? That'd be fun.
For my own music?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's happened before when I tried doing something, but it's probably on YouTube. Anyway, goodbye. Next week, Encounters with Evil. We'll see you there, or we'll see you square. Deuces.
Gotta go drop one.
I've lost a lifetime of sleep, roaming these city streets. You know the silence is coming, these street lamps remain. remind me of another failed attempt to rest my eyes. And another creeping dose of this sleep cycle cyanide. Though these lyrics won't mean shit, sure as hell fills the silence. But missing you right here by my side.
Thank you.
If I could pause time under those streetlights, I would have talked to you all night. And if I would have known it'd be last time, I'd hear voice travel these phone lines, would have never said goodbye. I know I can't go, you know I'd always follow your lead. And in the race to heaven's gates, you got me beat. So save me. So save me a seat. So save me a seat. So show me home along these dead end streets, and watch me slip between the cracks of all this cold concrete, and break apart to match the state of every one of my teeth. So say